This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is Super Bowl Sunday. It's Radio 90 Time, the game. You're home of the Super Bowl. Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs today, 404-726-0929. Love to hear from a Chiefs fan, because I think Chiefs fans sometimes, and it's so unfair to them in a way, what's happened here this season with all the balls that have gone their way. By the way, I don't think there's any conspiracy. They just benefited from a lot of calls that other teams don't necessarily benefit from. And so it kind of dings or shades what they've accomplished in a way. And I can understand how they'd be frustrated by that, because they have been, you know, fabulous under Andy Reid, especially over the last 5 years. They have been the dominant franchise, and, you know, they want their flowers. They want their props, and I get it. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you got to be a little bit frustrated. I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you want to win today, and you're also praying that there isn't a blatant call that goes the way of the Chiefs, that everybody's not talking about you winning yet another Super Bowl in three in a row. They're talking about another call and how the game is, air quotes, rigged in favor of the Chiefs. So you're hoping that doesn't happen. You just want to win this fair and square, win it by two touchdowns. There's no controversy, and you're good. If you're an Eagles fan, you know, here you got another crack at it. So there's that. And I'd love to hear from an Eagles fan talking about, you know, you're being pretty close. Boy, you want to break through that window again. I mean, and this franchise, the Eagles, has, you know, on multiple occasions. So you see if you can do that as well. 404-726-0929. We could also talk about the Falcons and this offseason, because the NFL does structure itself in such a way that, yes, the Super Bowl will happen today, and then tomorrow morning they'll wake up and say, okay, we got a ton of work to do, and there's a lot going on. Because in 2 weeks, the combine, you'll get in a month from today, you'll get the beginning of free agency. And that will lead you, of course, to the NFL draft in April and the league meetings, which are going to take place the league meetings are actually next month, end of March. In the league meetings for the NFL this year, they're going to be talking about, you know, they always talk about rule changes, right? But they're also going to be talking about restructuring the playoff system, reseeding, that'll be a topic. And the bigger, also more games overseas, even more. And I tell you, prep as an Atlanta Falcons fan, the Falcons will more than likely get an overseas game this year. So just be prepared for them to have to play in Germany or something. So there can be even more overseas games, because the NFL wants to, you know, they want to go after that European market. You know, I still think they're going to create a division in Europe, a four-team division over there. And so I think this is all about breeding a move in the next 4 to 5 years of actually having two teams in England and a team in Germany and a team in France or something, or maybe two teams in Germany, in order to get that European television market and all the money. So, because remember, like, you know, from New York to London isn't much farther than it is, or Boston to London, than it is from Boston to L.A. You know, it's a half-hour difference or something. It's not much. So it's not like other side of the world stuff that's impossible to do. And you could go over there and play two games, right? You go over there, play two games, and then come back. And so, and you don't have to go every year. So we have, unless you're in the division, right? So there are ways to do it. There are ways to pull it off. But the bigger thing than that that's going to be discussed here, I think, will be the 18-game regular season. I think the NFL is ready to go to 18 games in the regular season. They want more. Again, it's all about creating more revenue, guys. It's why college football is going to expand the playoffs, not this year, but next year from 12 to 14 teams. It's why you're going to go to another possible division in Europe. It's going to be about an 18-game season in terms of, I'm surprised, in a way, one of the things that has been quiet so far and muted a little bit is that I think Major League Baseball really needs to do a big expansion. They need to do a big expansion. I think they need to do not a two-team expansion. I think they need to do a 4-to-6-team expansion. Well, John, that'll water it down too much. Yes, it will. But at the same time, they need an infusion of cash. They need to get into a bunch of markets. They need to get back into Montreal. I think they need at least one more team, if not two, in Canada. You can make a case for Vancouver. You know, they've got to spread the word here for Major League Baseball. They've got to expand. Because you expand or die. And so you have to increase your footprint, and so I'm sort of surprised by that. But that's a different story. For the NFL, which is front and center right now because of the Super Bowl today, I expect that they're going to have far more games overseas, all intended to create a division in Europe. And then also I think they're going to be talking about reseeding. I think they're going to be talking about an 18-game regular season. And this is all just about, I don't know, about 2 months away. Actually, it's about 5 weeks away at the annual league meetings. So there's a lot on the table here for these. But back to the baseball for a second. Because front and center for us, what's going on? Okay, Atlanta United in the preseason, Hawks in the regular season, and again, no reason for the Hawks to tank. It makes no difference if they tank or they don't tank. They're not going to have a pick in the lottery whether they tank or they don't tank. Okay? There's no chance they have a lottery pick. I want everybody to understand that who's out there calling for the Hawks to tank. They got no chance. There's no lottery for the Hawks. It doesn't matter. They do not have a pick. The only pick that they would have that would be lottery available is a pick from the San Antonio Spurs through the Sacramento Kings, the Kings own. But the problem is if it's a lottery pick, if it turns out that the Kings, you know, fall into the lottery, it doesn't go to the Hawks. The only way that pick goes to the Hawks is if the Kings are not in the lottery. Do you follow that? And then they got the Lakers pick. Of course, Lakers are not going to be in the lottery. So the Hawks have no chance of being in the lottery. None. So quit the discussion here on X about tanking. That's totally pointless here. 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in. I am asking you about the rotation of the Braves, pitchers and catchers coming up. 8 pitchers kind of front and center in the start of the rotation. There will be a lot of other people that are going to be non-roster invitees or players within their system that are going to try and impress in spring training. And they have a few. They have a couple other young arms that are down in their system. We didn't mention Hurston Waldrop, for example. You know, could he have a role this year? Yes. There's other guys here that could possibly break through. So I think the Braves at large look at their pitching staff and their rotation and say, I think we're good for now. Obviously that's what they're saying because they didn't make a big pickup, right? So they believe they're good for now. I'm okay with that. My issue here with the Braves isn't the starting rotation, it's the bullpen. No Jimenez, no Minner. You know, I mean, you've had a lot of things that have left that bullpen here. You still have the closer in Iglesias, but the middle of that bullpen, to me, all of this kind of like, let's go down to spring training and find out what we got stuff, is a little bit disconcerting. Now, the good thing about that is you've got a guy like, say, Grant Holmes, who could swing. He could be a swing guy, and he could go into the bullpen and be a swing guy. Grant Holmes could be actually a really key player he could start in the rotation. If Strider's not ready at the beginning of the year, he can also be a guy that could be potentially part of the night shift. And then, or a long reliever, middle reliever, who could spot start. So a guy like Grant Holmes becomes really important for this team. Let's go to Nathan. He's on with John on this Sunday morning. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the show. Hello, Nathan. No, Nathan?
Yes. I picked Eagles over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
You want to start that over, Nathan?
I'm a big Eagles fan.
I didn't catch it. Want to start it over?
I'm a big Eagles fan. The Eagles over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl 59.
Sir? Okay, is that wishful thinking on your part, or do you think that they're actually the better team, or what?
Yes, the Eagles are actually a better team with Saquon Barkley and their anchoring defense, the number one defense in the NFL. I take my chances on the Eagles. Their defense is very much the anchor. Their defense is one, and their defense is not suspect. The Eagles have that chance. The Eagles have the defense that is second to none.
Yeah, Eagles have the best defense in the NFL. That's correct. So, yeah, yes. This is why I think that they're the better overall team. The Chiefs have a top 10. The Chiefs do have a top 10 defense here. So, you know, it's not like the Chiefs are devoid of defense. Matter of fact, the untold story about the dominance of the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 5 years is everybody looks at, you know, when they had Cheetah and they had Mahomes and then, of course, Kelce and Mahomes. And, you know, they say, oh, it's the offense of Patrick Mahomes. Is really that defense of the Chiefs has really stood up and played extremely well in big games and really kind of led them. You know, it's like the underrated factor about the Chiefs is that their defense has actually been pretty good. But I don't disagree. This is what I think. The Eagles do have the best defense in the NFL. Yes.
Second to none. They do have the best defense. The Eagles do.
Yep.
And Saquon Barkley should be the MVP.
Yes. Well, yeah. We'll see how it all kind of plays out. Thanks, Nathan. Do appreciate the call. Of course, our coverage of the Super Bowl begins at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll take you through all the pregame from 2 o'clock all the way to the kick and then postgame as well. And it's going to be a good, like, 11 hours of Super Bowl coverage, 11, even maybe even close to 12. I mean, we'll take you right up to midnight and beyond. So it'll be a lot of Super Bowl coverage right here on 90.9 The Game. So if you're out and about today, remember to stay right here because once the game kicks off, I always like they say 6:30 kick. It's always like, what, 6:45 or something, you know, 6:42. So once the game does kick off here, you want to be here on 90.9 The Game if you're out running errands. Scott is with us this morning. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, man.
Good. I got three short things. Welcome to Super Bowl Sunday, a.k.a. Eat What You Want, Be Fat Day. So
yeah,
that's,
right?
That's cool. Good to, yeah, stuff our faces, right? I have some kind of combination of deep dish pizza, wings, buffalo dip, burger sliders, and pizza dip that I'm planning to have. So that's always good for me. The second thing I wanted to ask you was, I talked to you a little bit yesterday about the Super Bowl, but what do you think the over-under is on how many times they pan up and show Taylor Swift? And do you think she's going to get more coverage than Trump or Bradley Cooper? So I know he's a big Eagles fan. What do you think?
I have no idea. This is why I don't bet on stuff like that. But, I mean, I guess it depends on – I would think that, yeah.
I wasn't planning to bet.
If I had to bet, I would say yes. Of those three, that Taylor Swift gets more airtime.
I was just making a, you know, just a – just conversation. I don't plan on betting on that. But since I talked to you about football yesterday, I wanted to talk about the Braves specifically because I know you asked about the Braves, specifically about Rob Manfred's comments about the Dodgers and how they just seem to have these deep pockets. And, you know, that he said that they're not ruining the league because they can just get whoever they want, basically, but they're not ruining it. And there's no salary cap. And I know the Braves have a high payroll, but how do you see us competing with the Dodgers? I know you like the bullpen, or I know you like the rotation. I mean, and I know we've got some great players, but we were very inconsistent last year in terms of hitting. And if we face them, if we somehow make it to the playoffs and face them, since they're just able to buy their talent, do we realistically have a chance to compete with them?
Well, of course we do.
My question.
Yeah, of course we do.
Okay.
I mean, in my world, look, you could talk about, you know, inconsistency in hitting last year. I think it was, to me, it was twofold. One, injuries. The team was, you know, hammered with injuries. Michael Harris, Ronald Acuna, good Lord. Ozzie Albies out, Sean Murphy out after, you know, the first swing of the year. Austin Riley out. I mean, the injuries that amounted on that team offensively. And then you will never convince me, Scott, that baseball wasn't doctored a little bit last year and deadened. I mentioned it to a former Braves shortstop, Darryl Chaney, who won a couple World Series when he was playing shortstop for the Reds, called in one time when I was talking about the fact that I think something's wrong with the ball. He agreed with me.
I remember that conversation.
Suddenly you had, you know, balls that were, you know, flying out to the, you know, out of the park here were dying at the warning track. So we'll see, you know, how the ball kind of reacts this year.
You have to assume
that we're going to be healthy. You know, you can't assume injuries. People like to assume injuries. I don't know why. I mean, do you assume that Juan Soto is going to slide into second base in the second game of the year and break his ankle in three places and not ever play again? I mean, you can't presume injuries.
Do you think that the Dodgers just have sheer dominance this year and win again, or even if they don't, do you think we're headed for a salary cap?
No. No chance.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. No, I mean, all right, I'll answer that question secondly. The first question is 1 through 9, healthy and delivering at the level that they can deliver at, the Braves have the best lineup in baseball. I wouldn't trade it for the Dodgers. It's the best lineup in baseball. Healthy, gotcha. 1 through 9, and contributing at the level that we expect, it's the best lineup in baseball.
One more thing, John, and then I'll let you go. Have you heard from our buddy Mel lately? What's anything with him? I haven't really heard from him lately.
Yeah, he called yesterday.
Oh, he did? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. He's out there.
Good. All right.
Mel,
well,
he's probably listening right now, our old buddy Mel. Yeah, no, I...
Enjoy the Super Bowl. Who do you like? I like the Eagles. I think, like I told you yesterday, I think it'll be like 28-23. Okay. And I'm hoping for a good game. And I just don't want to see the Travis Kelce... Taylor Swift fiasco anymore.
You got to get used to that one, Scott, because that's going to happen a lot today, especially if he scores a touchdown. He'll be like Harding her and then of course, you know, who knows, you know, there's even a prop bet on he proposes after the game, you know, I mean, oh my God.
I saw that, yeah.
Here we go. It's like the Boise State thing. All right, appreciate it, Scott. There's never going to be a salary cap in baseball. Do know this as a sports fan, just to monitor it, when it comes to players' unions and players' associations, you know, NBAPA, NFLPA, all that kind of stuff, baseball's labor union is by far and away the strongest, okay? They are by far and away the strongest. And matter of fact, that's something to keep your eye on here. Could there be some labor issue here post-spring training that could affect the start of the year? The answer to that is possibly. Baseball's players union is way too strong. It is really strong, and they're just never going to accept it. And so, hey, listen, you know, props to them. And, you know, we talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers. Let's not forget the Mets paid Soto $765 million. And did you know that $765 million total value of the Soto deal is worth more from a total value than the Braves' entire 1 through 9 lineup? Yeah. All right, quick break as we continue on this Super Bowl Sunday. Coverage begins at 2 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Well, Sunday on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, John Fricke from the Northern Kia Studios. Taking it to the top of the hour. Super short show today, and then, of course, our coverage begins at 2 o'clock. Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites over the Philadelphia Eagles on the board. The over-under is 48.5. And for those of you who don't bet, over-under means total points scored in the game. I know that some of you are like, oh, we know what over-under is. But there are a lot of people that's, you know, this is the Super Bowl. It draws a lot of casuals. Over-under meaning 48.5. That's the total points scored by both teams. So if the score was 25-24, that would be a total of 49 points, and the game would go over, if you follow where I'm at. And, of course, if it's 24-23, that would be 47, and the game would fall under. So you're just betting, is it going to be a higher-scoring game or a lower-scoring game? So the over-under total is 48.5. Let's go to David here. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hi. I think looking at the Super Bowl here, you start checking boxes for who gets favored. You have to give Kansas City quarterback position, Philadelphia at running back, which is the running back is such a massive upgrade over what they had two seasons ago. But something that no one seems to be talking about is Philadelphia's kicker is having the worst season of his career. So if it comes down to being really close, that could be the unknown factor that no one's paying any attention to. What do you think?
Yeah, no, there are a lot of things that could play into this. David, is this referee thing a real thing? You know, does Patrick Mahomes get a call or even two in the game that nobody else would get because he's gotten them this year? Do the Chiefs get a call? And I hope for the sake of the Chiefs that they don't. That they don't get a call. I hope that this is, you know, they call it tight, but they don't lean one way or the other. I'm not saying they automatically do. Don't misunderstand me. But I would really feel kind of bad for the Chiefs if they got a call that swung the game their way, which was blatantly, obviously not the call, you know, that it should have been, you know, late in the game, because then everybody's going to kind of... So there are a lot of... No, there's a lot of mitigating factors. Not, you know, one of the things I will say, you know, and this being a rematch too, I mean, so the teams are somewhat familiar with each other in this setting. So, I think there's a lot of things you could say, and special teams always kind of plays into a game that we expect, you know, Kansas City a point and a half favorite, that, you know, may favor Kansas City a little bit, and you know, let's see how that defense of the Eagles is in terms of trying to... I think Kansas City's going to have a hard time running the football. How about that, David? A hard time.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Also, I think if Philadelphia can keep the ball on the ground, even if they fall behind, it's going to help because Barkley can be a home run hitter, unlike the other running backs in the game. And Kansas City, although they have a very effective defense, they've been giving up, I believe it's 140 yards on the ground in the playoffs, so they've softened up for some reason. And Kansas City has Chris Jones, and I can't really say that I think the other defensive linemen are particularly outstanding. They move him around for one reason, because he plays better at the position than the starting guy at whatever position. He's really good, but I think it also indicates they have some qualitative problems on the defensive line.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, like, for example, little things like, are the Eagles in a position to use the tush push, and do they use it, and is it effective? You know, because they're the architects of this thing. I'm surprised more teams don't really use it. I was like, well, the Falcons ought to use it more.
Why did they change that? Because that was illegal for eons.
You know, I mean, It just is. It's there now. I mean, it's old school kind of shove it. You know what the rule change I want is? I want the defense. I want them. They don't have to get, in my world, they don't have to get rid of the tush push. What I want them to do is allow the defense to do the tush push back. In other words, allow the defense to stack the middle of the line and do it, its own tush push towards the offense.
Here comes the single wing.
Yeah, well, that's really old school. Thanks, David. Do appreciate 404-726-0929. Yeah, that's all really, really, really old school. Game always changes. Game's always in flux, you know. You know, they tried, you know, the NFL didn't ever run the wishbone. A couple of teams tried to run the wishbone. San Francisco tried to run it a little bit. But the hash marks, for those who don't know, that there are certain things that are different between college football and NFL football. One of them is the hash marks. The hash marks in the NFL are much closer to the middle of the field, and the hash marks of college football are out wider, which allows more space on the edge, you know, to the far side of the field, which allows the, you know, the wishbone. That's why the wishbone was one of the reasons it was successful, was that they had a lot more room to work with on the far side of the field. So there are a lot of factors in here on however you want to bet the game. Noel White, have you ever been to a Super Bowl?
No, I spent a lot of time trying to get tickets in Houston, but to no avoid, and actually they saved me, so thank you, Houston. Yeah, but right. No, I have not been.
Yeah, well, you know, the station went to Houston. Hugh and I didn't go. Everybody else went to Houston. And for you and I sitting back in Atlanta while everybody else, you know, was in Houston, we were, I'm not going to say we were real happy about that. But then they all, they turn around and come back before the game. And I was like, oh, thank goodness we didn't make that trip. Because it would have made me mad to make that trip, plus the game itself, which we all don't know. Okay, I'm talking about that.
Right.
But I've been to four, and it is, if you have a dog in the hunt, and I've never been to either, I didn't go to either Falcons once, but if you have a dog in the hunt, it's probably fun to go to because it is a Super Bowl, you know, if you're an Eagles fan today or a Chiefs fan, for example. But if you don't have a dog in the hunt, it is the most overrated, worst, expected to be big sporting event you could ever go to. I've been to four. It's not really a whole lot of fun. I mean, I could tell you 100 things that are far more fun in sports than to go to a Super Bowl. The Kentucky Derby is far more fun. You know, the Final Four is far more fun. The College World Series is more fun. I mean, the NBA All-Star Weekend is more fun. There's a lot of things that are more fun than, you know, Daytona is more fun. There's a lot of things that are more fun than the Super Bowl to go to it. It's overpriced. The game itself is totally different. It's such a different vibe. Now, the four I've been to, I went to Super Bowl 16 in Pontiac, Michigan, San Francisco, Cincinnati, way back in 1982. It was the Niners' first Super Bowl win. Kenny Anderson of the Bengals against Joe Montana. This was a long, long, long time ago. Obviously, it was 42 years ago. I also went to Green Bay, Denver, and San Diego, which was a great game. That was the helicopter game. That was the game where the Packers allowed John Elway to score in order to get the ball back. That was actually a great game. So if the game is great, the other three I was at, the game wasn't so great. I mean, San Francisco-Cincinnati was kind of a blah game. The Bears and Colts in Miami, so when Peyton Manning won against Rex Grossman, that was sort of a blah game. Bills and Cowboys at the Georgia Dome was a big blah game because the Cowboys killed them. So it was a blah game. Green Bay Packers and the Broncos, that game was a great game. I still think one of the best, if not the best, Super Bowl of all time. So it's such a great game. Back and forth, a lot of high scoring. Favre was on his game. Elway was on his game, et cetera, et cetera. But for the most part, the game is different, okay? And the reason I say it's overrated is there are so many people that go to the game who are not vested in the game, right? More than half the crowd are people who have tickets who just want to go to a Super Bowl who don't care who wins. You know, it's corporate tickets, a lot of those, a lot of corporate tickets. And, you know, so it's not like a college game where you have, like the Georgia-Florida game, where half the crowd is Florida and half the crowd is Georgia. It's about a quarter of the crowd will be Eagles, a quarter of the crowd will be Chiefs, and the other half of the crowd couldn't care less. They only care about their bets, or they're only there because it's the Super Bowl and whatnot. You know, I mean, so they sit on their hands. Then the game itself is super slow. And it's good that both teams, because when you go for the first time, and I realized it the first time I went, is that it is a different pace than any other football game. To start with, the pregame lasts forever, right? You have all the songs and all the things. So you're standing out there for 25 or 30 minutes to get to the coin toss. You're like ready to go, and you're just, oh, my God, can we get this thing going on? Then once you get into the game and the commercial breaks are longer. So the commercial breaks themselves, even if they're only 90 seconds longer, they become, you cool down. I mean, and then you get, of course, to halftime. And you got to get, you know, Kendrick Lamar's, you know, got to get his setup up there, and everything has to happen. And your halftime, which is, you know, 15 minutes or so, suddenly becomes 40 minutes. And you cool down. And the game drags. And when you're there in person, it becomes really quiet. Okay? It's a very quiet game. Because all the enthusiasm is sucked out of the room by long commercial breaks and long setup times for, like, the halftime here, you know, that you watch Kendrick Lamar. When the game goes to halftime, however long it is between the game actually going to halftime and Lamar taking the stage when they set it up, yeah, if you're watching on TV, you're watching the analysts. They're down on the field, and they're talking about it. But in the stadium, there's nothing going on. It just becomes quiet, and people just sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And so the enthusiasm is not – it's not a great event. It's not a game where it's exciting, and, you know, unless the game itself happens to turn exciting in the fourth quarter, it's kind of overrated. And people spend all this money. Now, look, I don't have a problem with you wanting to go and experience it. I don't have a problem, obviously, if you're a fan of one of the two teams, like you were talking about, Noel, about going to Houston as a Falcons fan to go see the game. Sure, I get that. I totally get that. I absolutely, especially if it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So I totally get this. I'm just telling you that as an event, it's sort of overrated because it's just not the same thing as a regular football game. I would much rather go. I probably went to, I don't know, I'd have to sit down. I know four Super Bowls. I think I've been to six national championship football games, okay, college football title games. I think it's six. Those games are, oh, my God, those games are great. The intensity, you know, of the fans, the stadium is rocking. It's all the fans of both teams. It's, you know, that's intense. That's fun. This is different. And so the game kind of does drag. And, look, you know, for you viewing at home, it doesn't drag at all because, like, for example, I don't know this for fact, but I heard somebody say, that who got a preview of a lot of the commercials, that, Noel, this is going to be an exceptional year for commercials.
Yeah, we've had a lot. And I noticed this last year, too, where we're getting the two-week preview of the commercial. Because right. I'm actually really excited to see the Matthew McConaughey one. I shouldn't be excited to see a commercial, but I'm really excited to see the Matthew McConaughey one. I just want to see what happens.
Right, so the, you know that the commercials this year that they've upped their ante a little bit, and so we'll see, you know. But then we all watch the commercials and we watch the halftime show, and so for us viewing, the NFL puts on a television show, and the television show really works on television, but in person, it becomes you're not watching the commercials for starters, you know. You're sitting around in long breaks. Waiting for the game. Game takes a lot longer than a normal NFL game. It takes a good, probably close to an hour longer than a normal NFL game. And so it drags, especially if it's not a great game. And it can get to be a little quiet and a little dull inside a stadium watching a Super Bowl. I know it sounds weird, but I'm just telling you, that's been my experience in the four that I've been to. The Buffalo-Dallas game at the Georgia Dome was like a yawner. I wanted to leave. I had to cover it postgame. The only thing I found interesting was in postgame is that I went down to the underneath, and they had the podium set up for Jimmy Johnson and for Jerry Jones because Cowboys won by a route, obviously. And Jerry Jones' people came down, and Jerry Jones came out first. And as Jerry was coming out, his people took his podium. Okay, so they're right beside each other. They took his podium and moved it up about 5 feet ahead of Jimmy Johnson's. It was like, really? Really? We're going to do that power move? Okay. Okay. Fine. Good. All right, quick break. Take you to the top of the hour, Super Bowl 59 today. Eagles and Chiefs. I'm not trying to rain in on anybody's parade. I'm just giving you my kind of like experience from going to four of them. So we'll have coverage beginning at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Great radio, great TV in person. I can point you in different directions. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke. It's been great fun. A lot of fun talking to you from the Northern Kia Studios here. So I do hope you enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. I hope the game is good. I hope the game's really good. I mean, that's the one thing above everything else is that, Noel, we get a really good, exciting football game and a really exciting finish. I couldn't care less who wins. I've got no dog in this hunt. And then one of the nice things is once the game ends and whichever quarterback is – do they still do, by the way, pardon me, Noel, for not knowing this, do they still do the thing where they get the quarterback and they say, I'm going to Disney World? Do they do that?
Yes, because I believe Patrick Mahomes did it last year and the family went to Disney World and stuff. So, yeah, I think that's still a thing.
Yeah, okay, I guess that's still a thing. So, anyway, once the quarterback says, I'm going to Disney World, for me, the confetti's fallen, the game has ended, the quarterback says, I'm going to Disney World, the Gatorade's been dropped, we don't know what color, right? You can bet on that. By the way, you can bet on that. Orange, red, green, purple. I think it was purple last year. You can bet on yeah, I know you can bet on the color of the Gatorade. And by the way, they protect that. The NFL, Gatorade protects the color. They put the Gatorade on both benches, right? But they don't tell anybody what the color is. They protect that. Because you know the one prop bet that always kind of bothered me a little bit, Noel, was the length of the national anthem.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
And the reason it bothers me is it's the one that can really be manipulated.
Yeah, because you can speed sing the song if you want, or you can slow it down as slow as you want it.
Well, not only that, but you can hold the last note.
That too.
And by the way, some places, there are things that are, at some point I should go tell you, that are really interesting that you probably don't know about sports. Like, back in the 80s and 90s, and I don't know if they still do this, but back in the 80s and 90s, like in the ACC, the coin toss during ACC football was staged, okay? You'd have an ACC football game. I was doing play-by-play at Wake Forest, and I had to learn this. You know, about 20 minutes before the game, they would get a captain from both teams, and they would go into the corner of the end zone, just one player from each team and the referee, and they would flip the coin. And then they would figure out, you know, so that there's no argument at the middle of the field. Okay, you win it, it's heads. And then when they got to the real coin flip, now they don't do this here because it's on camera, but when they did the coin flip at the beginning of the game, you know, okay, you North Carolina State guy, call it, you know, heads. And he looks down and it's tails and he says, and it's heads. You know, it was fake. Okay, they had already done it. You know, this is to prevent, you know, because sometimes in the grass, the coin would sit kind of funky too, you know. Is it heads or tails? And so in order to avoid all of that, they would pre-do it. Same is true of the national anthem. They pre-record the national anthem, okay. And they pre-record the national anthem just in case something happens to the mic live, okay? Something happens to the mic live, it cuts out, whatever. Then they could just, because they start the tape at the same time as the singer starts. And if anything happens, they could just hit tape, take tape. See? So they pre-record the national anthem. And they do that during regular season games in some places too, still. They pre-record. Some do, some don't. But at the Super Bowl, they do, because they can't have, you know, they don't want any flaws here. So they've got the tape running concurrent with the singer. So when they pre-tape it, guess what? You know how long it lasted, right? Exactly how long it lasted. And the over-under is 2 minutes, 2.5 seconds. So if it's over on the tape, somebody leaks out and picks up the phone and goes, hey, they just recorded the anthem, the tape. It's 2 minutes and 4.5 seconds. Bet over. I mean, it's the one that could be, Noel, totally manipulated. See what I'm saying?
See, that's why I don't bet, because it's too complicated for me. I mean, We've been all the way down to the Gatorade color and the length of the national anthem. Yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, it can 100% be manipulated.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun to bet. When I bet props, like when I went to Senior Frogs in Tijuana one time and sat there for a Super Bowl. It was the Raiders, Bucks. John Gruden got traded. Yes, you could trade head coaches. And Gruden got traded from the Raiders to the Bucs, right? And it was that Super Bowl, probably 2002, maybe? The one where Barrett Robbins disappeared? Okay. So it was actually in San Diego, but we just didn't have anything going on with the game. So my buddies and I went down to Senior Frogs in Tijuana, and watched the game down there so that we could just bet on the game. And so Senior Frogs is a big sports book down in, I think there are multiple ones, but the one in Tijuana. And go down there and drink all day and eat Mexican food and bet on props. And he would bet like 20 props and bet $20 on each. Bet on the coin toss, bet on this prop, bet on that prop. First song prop. Like the first song prop for Kendrick Lamar today, Humble is the favorite, okay? Now, Noel, I may need your help here because I'm a guy and a heavy metal guy. I'm not so much a Kendrick Lamar guy. And not, I'm sure his music's fine. I just don't know it. Humble, Not Like Us, DNA, Squabble Up. Those seem to be the ones that are that are coming in hot for first song.
I would say DNA for the first song.
Okay.
But Humble would be my second choice. So they're not off, but I would say DNA. I think Not Like Us is going to take us back into the third quarter.
Okay. All right, see, but you could bet on that. See, I would have no idea. I wouldn't bet it because I don't know Kendrick Lamar's stuff. You don't know Kendrick? No, I'm a 64-year-old dude who is a metalhead, okay? So today's music, I became musically arrested in 1989 when I discovered sports talk radio. And so 1990s, 2000s, there was a little brief period where my daughter listened to Radio Disney, and I was subjected to, the Jonas Brothers and Hilary Duff and, Avril Lavigne and that kind of stuff. So I have a little bit of that. But, otherwise, I don't listen to music. I have my old music. I'll stay there. It's fine. I'd rather listen to sports talk radio. I just don't know it. I mean, people will say stuff and I go, I'll hear things. I mean, there's stuff that is obviously in the ether and you can't avoid it. It's ubiquitous, which is a big word for all you swampers. It means it's everywhere. Sort of like swampers, No, I'm not going to go there. It's your day. It's down in New Orleans. I'll just stop. Sure. I mean, do I know the stuff that's obvious that everybody knows? Yes. Did I listen to all the rap coming through, from NWA through Eminem and everything else? Sure. Of course, it was everywhere, but it doesn't mean that I have a familiarity with it. Or same is true, I guess, of more, it's a little back in the day, isn't it? Right. Sure. More modern stuff, do I know who Jelly Roll is? Yes. Do I know some of his songs? Sure. It's just what you follow. This is one I would avoid because I don't know his music well enough to understand. You're like, how do you not know Kendrick Lamar? Well, it's just, I'm not listening to the stations that play Kendrick Lamar. Listening to 99 The Game. That's why. Yeah, but you know these songs. I'm sure when they play them, I go, oh, yeah, sure, I've heard that. Oh, yeah, sure, I've heard that. We get ready for the Super Bowl today. We'll see how this kind of all plays out. I'm interested to find out. All right, for the Hawks, that's what I was going to tell you. So once the confetti falls and once the Gatorade bath happens, in my world, at that moment, somewhere a little after 10 o'clock, Eastern time tonight, at my moment, it's like, boom, Falcon season begins, okay? Because it's got to start. The Falcon season begins tonight, a little after, somewhere around 10:15 tonight, boom, here comes the Falcon season. And I am off, hey, congrats to Eagles, Chiefs, you won the Super Bowl. I'm past it. I'm moving on. All right, nothing to see here. Move along. Because that's where I'm at. Because we got our own issues here. We have the combine coming up in 2 weeks in Indianapolis. A month from today, we have legal tampering and the beginning of free agency. And it's the February the 9th on March 10th, okay? Which is 28 days away. So we're talking now 24 weeks from today. We have free agency beginning, but more importantly than that, we have a $10 million roster bonus due to Kirk Cousins that we or not we, not us, but Flower Branch has got to figure out, are they going to pay him the $10 million? Are they going to cut him? What are they? How are they handling this stuff? Okay, that's, you know, we got to figure all that out here. So at 10:15 tonight or so, thereabouts, I'm off to the Falcons offseason because we got a lot of our own issues here to worry about for next year. And they could have a parade in Philly or a parade in you know, grease the light poles in Phily, or they could have a parade around the fountains of Kansas City. Don't care. Good luck to you. You know, you go to the White House, you do all that kind of stuff that you have to do. Congrats. I'm moving on. Okay? Because, Noel, this offseason, you know, with a first, a second, no third, no fifth, no sixth, this is a balancing act for Terry Fontenot, isn't it?
Yeah, he's either gonna have to try to trade to get some more picks, or you have to hit on everybody.
Or you got to figure. First off, the very first thing you got to do is figure out what you're doing with Kirk Cousins, right?
Whew, yeah, that's
because in my world, he cannot set foot in that locker room again.
No, especially after D-Led tried to talk to him the other day down in New Orleans, and you basically refused to answer any questions after basically calling
a press
conference.
Well, it's worse than that. He had to have his bodyguard step in
front
of him.
Yeah, like, that's insane.
What? It's D-Led.
Yeah, I'm glad D-Led told this story, because Atlanta needed to hear that. Yeah, the Kirk Cousins experiment is over. He's kind of worn out his welcome with every passing day. He's got to go.
Yeah, you got to go. So that's the first thing they got to do. Well, enjoy the game today. Again, our coverage begins at 2 o'clock. A reminder, the Hawks will be playing tomorrow against Orlando, trying to make it 3 wins in a row. Kind of their new version there. Saw some nice things for some of the new guys, and see if they can take out the Orlando Magic tomorrow. And, of course, complete coverage right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Hawks, again, only a game and a half out of sixth place. So even without Jalen Johnson, this isn't I mean, it could be a little bit of a fun stuff. My thanks to you, Noel White, to everybody that called in. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the day. And we will talk soon.